Welcome to Cross Culture Church and our Tuesday noon Bible study. Today, we're continuing in John 6. And as we move into John 6, we shall pick up where we left off. And that was at John 6 and 26. They had Jesus had already fed the multitude with the loaves and the fishes, and he had went over to the other side and had left the crowd. So, 25, and when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou over here? In other words, whence comest thou hither? So, this is getting ready to be a very good example of how God, through his son Jesus Christ, deals with people about the external and the spiritual, the natural and the spiritual. All right, so verse 26, Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto ye, or to you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. 27, he says, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Now, this is where we want to take our microscope out and start to dive into the things of God. And what a joy it is to have truth revealed to us. And I want us to understand as we go through this Bible study that John deals with truth. All right. And so the truth of the matter is that people love the miracles and they looked at it from an external point of view, but they never did really understand the spiritual value or the intent that God had for an everlasting meaning in reference to the miracle. All right, so what happened in the miracle? In the miracle, he took what he had, he blessed it, and he multiplied it, and it fed the people. Now, when we look at that in our present day age, we say, what can we have that we need more of that we can bless and then have it to be transformed? And so that's the way we kind of want to look at it when we look at it in present day terms. They needed something, all right? And what they had was some loaves and some fish. And what we have in our life is we have talents, abilities, and our skills. Now, I want us to think about that, because sometimes we look at our situations and we think things are hopeless, but we never really look at what we do have. We never look at that. So here, when we go back into it, the people were hungry. They had been listening to Jesus teach. Jesus said, all right, let's feed them. They said, well, we don't have enough money to feed all of these people. So then Jesus said, well, what do we have? Well, we got some barley loaves and two fish. He said, well, all right, sit them down and we're going to do with what we have. Now, how does that work with us in our life? We can say, well, you know, I want to do some things for God, but I don't think that I'm capable of doing it. I don't think that I have enough wherewithal to do it. Everybody else is doing it. They're all talented and everything. But when we think about it, if God gives us something to do, he already knows what we possess. He already knows what we have. And when we bless God with what we have and give it to him, he can multiply it. Just like he did with the loaves of fish, we come to him what? Just as we are, right? Because he already knows what we have in us. We're the only ones that don't know, right? So that's why when we come to God, we have to have an expectation that God is going to do something good with us and through us. And see, it's not what we see, it's what God knows. And so that's where faith comes in. So I want us to think about that as we move on into this. All right? Now, he says to them, you were looking for me not because I did a miracle, but because you ate and was full. So how do you look at that in today's term? Do you just go to church on Sunday to be blessed and hear a word that excites you for a minute? Or do you go to hear a word that's going to change your life forever? Is that not a valid question? Are we going for the ceremony, or are we going for the spiritual? Are we going for the, okay, I'm sad right now, I hear my favorite song, I'm going to get excited? Or do we go to say, I want God to tell me something so that my life can change and I can do what it is he called me to do? Is church a social gathering, or is it a preparation station? All right? Is it a service station where we can come in and get fixed up so we can continue on in the journey? Or is it just a pop stop just to get a soda and some chips? All right? You know, we have to think about, why do we do the things that we do? Jesus called them out and said, y'all just followed me because I feed you. Not because it was a miracle. They were looking for him because they wanted to eat again. Right? They didn't follow him because they wanted to be taught again. Because even though he taught them good and they really enjoyed it, what they were following him for was to get fed again. And so now, let's look at it a little deeper. Because each time I talk to you, I want you to see the relevance of how you can put this in today's terms and then look at it in what was going on in their life. Because they at that time were what? Unregenerated. Here we are having an opportunity where we can be regenerated. We can be born again. Our eyes are open. Their eyes were closed. All right? Everything that they saw was through natural eyes. They saw nothing spiritually because they had no way of becoming spiritual. We do understand that, right? They were Jewish people who were still living by the law. Jesus was coming to show them that he was better than, right? So now, again, I'm challenging y'all to think about this. We went through Hebrews, right? And in Hebrews, what did we learn? That Jesus was greater than. He came to fulfill everything and move them past the ceremony to get to the real. Okay? So it's not ceremonial now. It's real now. I'm here. I'm here to fulfill it all. I'm here to make everything come to one thing. That's me, and then the Father. All right? So now we're getting ready to get into it. I had to kind of prep you a little bit in 26 when it says you came to eat to just to get fed again, to let you see what they were thinking about. And it's going to get deep. This dissertation we're getting ready to have here now, I want y'all to fasten your spiritual seatbelts. Because upon further study, you are going to realize that God is getting ready to put some revelation knowledge out here that not only changed them, but I hope it's going to change you. I know it changed me. All right, verse 27. Labor not for the meat which perish, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him have God the Father sealed. Boy, I want us to get ready now. This is when the ship's getting ready to take off here. One, he said, don't work for food that perish, but for that food which endureth unto everlasting life. And then he tells them how they're gonna get it, right? He said, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For God the Father has sealed him. All right, now. That word meat right there has to do with our nourishment, with what sustains us, with what keeps us, right? Okay, so he said, look, labor not for that, but because that is what? Temporary. It's temporary, all right? And what you want to do is to work for things that are everlasting. You know, in the old days, they say, I'm sending up timber.
Right.
Yeah, you know, in the old days, that was the best they could do. Yeah, you know, we setting up timber. You know, we working in the kingdom so that we could help God build our mansion. You know, God didn't need no help building our. When he said, I go to prepare a place for you, he didn't say, I need help. Right? He didn't say he didn't need no help from us. He said, I'm going to do it. He said, I'm not going to go try to do it. He said, then I'm going to come back and get you and take you to this place that I prepared for you. All right, let me move on, because this way is getting ready to get exciting. Then they said unto him, hey, that's interesting what you said. I'm paraphrasing. What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Was that a valid question? That was a valid question. He said, he had done told them, don't work for the meat that perish. They said, well, okay then. What kind of work do you want us to do? Right? Well, what is this work you talking about? Now it's getting ready to get interesting. This is getting ready to get deep now. I know you got your spiritual seatbelts fastened, because we're getting ready to rock and roll now. Then Jesus said unto him, this is the work, that you believe on him he has sent. Now, y'all, I know y'all ready, right? Faith without works is dead being alone. Is faith work? Yeah, is faith work? Does it take work to have faith? Faith is an action. All right. Now, what happens when you have faith? You got a test as well. Yeah, well, let me tell you, if you got faith, the test is coming whether you want it to come or not. I just want to help you out here. Once you get revelation knowledge, you either have two choices. You either accept it or reject it. Right? You either believe it or you don't. God said there ain't no two ways. Either you for me or against me. So if I give you the information, you got two choices. Either you accept the information and go with it, or you don't. There's no middle of the ground. You can't say, well, I kind of believe that, but not really. Because all of it's going to be tested. All of it's going to be tested. Let me give you an example. You say, I love the Lord, but you don't do the things that God tell you to do. So do you love him or don't you? He said, I know them that love me, they do what I tell them to do. Did not Jesus say that? He said, if you love me, then you'll do what I tell you to do. That's the evidence of your love. But what does it take for that? It takes faith to do that. It takes faith to do that. So I want us to understand how this works. It says, for this is the work of God that you believe. Now, guess what? All your life, everybody that's listening to the sound of my voice and everybody I'm talking to, your whole life has brought you to this point of having a belief system. All of the experiences that you had as a young girl or young boys, men listening, all of that shaped who you are today. The experiences that you had, the things that people said to you that you trusted and believed. Actually, some of the things that people you didn't trust, but that they said were hurtful, stuck. I mean, we think about it. What we know today is based on everything that we've accumulated, saw, heard, believed, trusted, all the way up until now. It's called experience, right? When they say, I got life experiences, you know, and people say, well, you don't understand. You don't know what I've been through. Really? So you're telling me everything that you're talking about is based on an experience, but some of that may not have been truth. It may not have been truth. Some people could have been lying to you all the time, and then when you find out it's a lie, aren't you disappointed? I can be honest and say, I was told a whole lot of stuff. I look back over that was the biggest lie in the world. And I would fail for a hook, line, and sinker. I had based a whole lot of my manhood on it. wasn't right 2 pennies worth, but it seemed right at the time, and it seemed like everybody else was going along with it, but that was all I knew at the time. So a lot of that we know, and a lot of that we heard, and a lot of the things that we stood on really are not valid. That's why when you get born again, you have to start all over, because some of that stuff, you have to go back and erase that stuff and get it out of there, and then let God give you a new foundation and a new platform to go on, right? And so that's what I want us to understand about this. See, now that when God comes into your life, now think about these people. All they knew was religiosity. All they knew was ceremonial stuff. I wash my hands, the Sabbath come, I do this, I do that, and because I do that, that justifies me. But it actually does not. And it did not. That was something temporary until better came. So now here's better, right? Remember Hebrews, better than? Here's better than saying, look, guys, this is the work that you need to be doing, not to worry about this food and your belly. But you need to be talking about some spiritual things. This is where we're taking you from walking to running. All right? This is the work of God that you believe. Verse 30. They said unto him, what sign showeth thou then that we may see and believe thee? What doeth thou work? What's this work? Now, they went through with the question. Because when you look at that, you first thing you say is, he just fed you with some loaves and some fish. But now I want you to think about what he just told them. Think about what he just told them. He said, look, y'all want to get fed, but I got something different for you. And the work that you got to do is to believe. They were thinking in their mind something else. So they said, okay, well, yeah, you fed us, but show us some serious work. And show us a real miracle. Now look, 31 is the example. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Do y'all see what they're saying? They said this is really nothing new, because our fathers got some bread before. Huh? Yeah. But our fathers got some. So Moses was involved with that. Now here you come saying, now we got the work. This work you talking about is to have faith on you. You need to validate yourself. Because Moses fed our fathers. Now, oh, you here you are. Did do it. So now we got to believe on you. What happened to Moses? All right. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said, oh, see, you're missing the point. Jesus said, you're missing the point. Right? Now he said, very, very, I said to you, Moses gave you not the bread from heaven, but my Father gave you true bread from heaven. Now, Can we pull our microscope out here? Because I want to show y'all something here. Now, did Moses give them bread? Moses didn't give them nothing. God gave them the bread. If you go back and look in there, Moses prayed not one time for no manna to come down from heaven. They were arguing and complaining out there, and God sent them the manna. Yeah. Moses didn't say, oh Lord, these people wearing me out, can you feed them? You don't see nothing like that in the scripture. But they ascribed it. Listen now, they ascribed it to Moses because Moses was leading them. But so they ascribed that to him. But Moses didn't give them nothing. He didn't. All right. He said, but my Father give you true bread. Pull your microscope out again. Now, that bread fell out of the sky, right? How did they know that bread fell from heaven? Is heaven in the sky? Yeah. No. Heaven is above the earth. Heaven is above. above all of that. That didn't fall from heaven. They didn't say it was heavenly bread. It just fell out of the sky. So they said, okay, this bread came from heaven. That quail that fell, that quail didn't fall from heaven. It fell out of the air. All right, so I want y'all to understand. He said, but my Father giveth you true bread from heaven. Now, Jesus, I love it. When he give you something, he give you all of it. He'll give you part of it so you can be scratching your head. 33, for the bread of God is he which come down from heaven and give of life unto the world. Now, that bread, that manna that fell, it only lasted how long?
Probably
one day. Whatever they got up that fell out of the sky to eat, it had deteriorated by nightfall. It was just enough for them. So here it is. Again, how do you put that in present day term? What you work for today in the natural will rust. Moths will get it. After a while, it won't be no good. Even if you build a house, you got to keep working on it, don't you? I don't know one house that's self-sufficient that you don't have to go do something to it. Right? So all of these things that we work for apart from God is going to deteriorate, rust, tap, or whatever. It's all temporary. But those things that come spiritually from the Father, they give us life. All right? Then they said unto him, evermore give us this bread. They said, okay then. Well now, if this bread going to give us life, we want it. Right? If this bread going to give us life, we want it. I know I would want some. If he said, okay, so that manna that came down, that wasn't all of that because it was gone right after they ate it. Then I want this bread you're talking about that's going to come down and then it's going to give life to everybody. I want some of that. Good answer. Then 35, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall what? Never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Now, did y'all read what that said? Boy, you got to get your microscope out. Because, see, I get excited right at this part. Because what? When you come to him, you won't hunger. But when you believe on him, you'll never thirst. Man, I don't know if y'all get into it like I get into it, but as I, upon further study, looked at that, here's a twofold blessing. When you first come to him, he satisfies that hunger that you have to fill a hole or vacancy that's in our life. Think about that. If you are trusting on material things, if you're trusting on your family, if you're trusting on your job, sooner or later, you're going to be let down, right? So everything that we work for here materially and not spiritually, we're going to get let down, disappointed. So there's going to be some changes in it, right? But when we come to him, then we won't hunger. We won't have those desires. He fills that hole in our life that's there. You can't put family in the place of God. Because when God gets in there, he fills his spot, and then family really becomes family, right?
Right.
If you're lonely and you say, I need somebody in my life, when you get Christ in there, he fills that spot, and then when you meet somebody, then you're better able to enjoy companionship. And then your whole thrust ain't the person, because God wants to be first, right? And God said, when I'm first, everything else can fall in line. I want you to understand how this works. He says, so now when you come to me, I'm going to fill that void in there. So now you won't be going out here trying to get something all the time. You'll be satisfied more with life. And then if you believe on me, you won't be thirsty. Do you know why we get thirsty? Why do we get thirsty?
In the natural.
Why do we get thirsty in the natural?
Because we're not dealing with the Father. We're not
in the natural.
Oh.
Why do we get thirsty in the natural?
Dehydrated.
We get dehydrated. All right. So that means that something that we had inward went out.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So we depleted what we had, and so now we got to get it back in. Right. Now. Do we know that our makeup of our bodies and what percentage of it is water? It's a very high percentage, right?
Yeah, 90-something percent.
Okay, so when that causes us to exist starts to deplete out, we want to put it back in, right?
Right.
So when we get and start to believe on Him, we won't ever thirst again because He keeps us
hydrated.
See, I want you to understand what he's saying. He's dealing with two things. You guys are following me for the bread, right? And Moses hit the rock, and the rock produced water. He's saying you don't have to hit nothing. You don't have to be waiting on it to come out. When you believe on me, I'm going to deal with your hunger. And that depletes you out in life, I'm going to keep you always filled with me. Y'all do know how that works, right? Out of your belly shall flow what?
Rivers of water.
Of living water. Of living water. That refurbishes and nourishes your spirit man on a regular basis. Amen?
Amen.
So I want y'all to look at that, because when we're looking at it, upon further study, and you get in that thing, you say, oh, it's two things going on. He says, one, when you come to me, you won't hunger anymore, but when you believe on me, you'll never thirst. So come and drink. Remember when he said, come, eat and drink. Now, I'm almost about to get ahead, but I'm going to stop. All right, let's walk into it. Because Jesus is getting ready to go through a discourse here that should change the way that we look at food and the way that we look at Him. All right?
When He says you're hungry, then that means you are going to pray, read your word, because you're hungry for Him. Is that what you're saying?
Are you? Okay, well, that really won't happen until you're drawn to Him, because the world is not hungering for Him at all. But I'm going to get into that. That was good, but you kind of jumped the gun a little bit. He's going to get into that. We're going to get into it, but good point. You just kind of jumped the gun a little bit. I was going to walk into it, so that's good. Right. And so
making
I want
a case. He's building it up, making a case, because they're constantly coming back to Him. He's telling them about bread of life. They talk about, well, I want some of this bread that's food.
Right.
You
know, right.
You want something to eat.
Right. Right. Right.
We ain't got there yet.
Right. And just think, that's the purpose that Jesus was there at that particular time to deal with them and deal with us,
right,
about being ceremonial versus being spiritual. All right? That was all ceremonial and a shadow and a cast of things to come. Manna from heaven, bread, water from the rock, all of that. Now, we're going to break this down in a minute, but that was ceremonial and this is spiritual. Remember in Hebrews, we understood that Jesus came to fulfill every letter of the law and to show them that what was coming and what they had been doing was temporary. Now when He came, it was permanent, right? So that they wouldn't have to go through works, but you got to move from works to what? Faith. Faith. All right? Now, here we go. Uh-oh. I moved my arrow. All right, there we go. Where are we at? 30. Okay, 33, for the bread of life is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. 34, then they said, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Now, 35, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I say unto you that you also have seen me and believe not. Did he call them out? He said, you've been following me around, and yet what I've been telling you, you still got questions about. I did that for you right there in your face, and you came back and said, show me some more works. He said, you really didn't believe what I told you the first time. And why is that? Because they were so accustomed to the ceremonial and the natural things that the spiritual things kind of rocked them a little bit. All right? Okay? Now, 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. What's he saying right there? Spiritually. Because this is all spiritual revelation from this point forward. Close.
I felt that he's saying that the Father has already given me what I need. Those people that are coming to me,
right.
People that are drawn to me,
right.
The Father has already given me those, and they will come to me.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they're predestined to come to me. You know, he's already had them, and he will not in no way cast them. He will always be. And I see he's saying, you can't come to me unless the Father sends you to me. And then I have the ability to keep you.
All right. All right. Other New Testament references to that. No one comes to the Father except... What's it? What my Father puts in my hand, can't nobody pluck it out. See, I want you now to start to think about how he's going to build from this as he goes on through other scriptures. It's all going to come back to this point right here. And he's saying, listen, I'm not going to leave you and abandon you if you work that work and have faith on me. He said, now I want you to believe this. That the Father is working through me, and that he give me to give to you, and you come to me, I won't let you go. I won't cast you out. All right? Now, 38. For I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Now, for you all that have not heard this, I'm going to say it again, and hopefully it'll resonate, and you all will be able to understand what this whole gospel message is all about. Jesus Christ is the Father on display. Jesus Christ is God the Father on display. Jesus Christ is God the Father on display. So, if you say, and they said, later on in other gospels, show me the Father. He says, have I not been with you so long that you don't see the Father? Right? Did he not say, I and the Father are what?
One.
are one. Now, here's what we have to understand and look at. All right. God the Father is a spirit. Right. And it was said many times, nobody seen him ever. So vast, so big, our natural eyes cannot comprehend that much of a, for lack of a better word, of essence, so powerful. So God says, all right, I'll show you my son so that you can see me. Right? Now, I have a son, my oldest one. When they people see him, they say, you look like your dad. Not only do we have similar features, he actually kind of talked like me. I listened to him on the phone. He said something the same thing, the exact same way I say him. The Father speaks through the Son. The Son says, I only do what I do because I see what my Father does and I do what he tells me to do, right? And so this is the demonstration. If you want to see how he feels, here's the compassion that the Father feels. If you want to see how the Father acts, he acts in what? Miraculous ways, right? Everything he does is miraculous. So here is the Father on display through the Son. And I don't know how through all of the miracles and the suffering and all of that we've kind of missed the fact that all that God wants us to know about him and why he wants us to come to him is all on display through Jesus. He said, how are you going to come any other way except through me, because I'm the authorized one to display the Father to you. Right? Everything that you can think about, healing in your body, food, water, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and righteousness, and all the things that you need to be added, provision, right? His love sticketh closer than a brother, more than a mother. I could just go on and on. But this is the Father on display. That same love that we would want if we could open up our spiritual eyes and take in all of who he is. That's what we would see. We would see that in the form of him. But he's spiritual. But we can see it in the natural. See, we always want a sign. Show me something. Can I put my hands on it? I used to sell insurance. I want y'all to understand this. I used to sell insurance. And the hardest thing was to show something that you can't see right now. Right? You won't even see the money. Somebody else will. So I had to paint the picture, right? That of your love for your loved ones after you gone. So what? That policy is your love. Right? But you won't see it. At all. And guess what? After that, you won't need it at all. You see what I mean? So here is the picture of the Father right here, tangible right now. And he's saying, I know what y'all been looking at, but now look at me. Right? Y'all been looking at the Ark of the Covenant. Right? Y'all been looking at all these ceremonial things. Y'all would love to see pillars of smoke and fire in the sky. All of this was what they had been following. He said, no, no, no. That was to get you to me. Tangible. The word of God made flesh that would dwelt among us. Man, when you get this whole book of John changed my... That's one of my favorite books, is because it shows us who the Father really was. It does. Now, all the other books show you different aspects of the Father, but this one shows the divinity that was displayed through Jesus. So I want y'all to understand, when you bring somebody to Jesus and you introduce them, what are you really bringing them to? You're bringing them to God the Father. But this is the entrance way that they got to go. This is the, okay, I got another one for you. This stuff just bubbling up now. He says, I'm the doorway. So if I want to show you heaven, I need to show you a doorway to get there. Hello, somebody. He said, I'm the way, the truth. And you need all of that to get to heaven, right?
Yeah.
You need to have a way. You need to have some truth. And for sure, you need to have a spiritual life to get there. Because guess what? You're going to be spiritually dead if you're not with him, right? Huh? All those scriptures about when it said they were cast into outer darkness and there was wailing and gnashing of teeth. Ain't no light if you're not with him. Right?
Right. And also he said right there, he came down from heaven.
Uh-huh.
He's letting him know his origin.
Right. Right.
No longer a mystery.
Right. Right. They didn't get none of that. Now, I'm saying you see that, but what? Right now, just think about it. But that, yeah. But he had to put that in. Think about this. In reference to bread that fell from heaven, that deteriorated. He said, "No, this bread." Right here doesn't deteriorate.
Right. Yeah.
It don't deteriorate. This not going to dissolve and then you're going to have to come back for it. When you get it, hold on to it. And then when you start to have faith, then that's going to quench your thirst. And so now you can be whole. Yeah, they said, we want some of that bread. Hey, that's what they said. They said, what we got to do it? He said, have faith. Have faith. Now he said, I didn't come to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Can I just take y'all one more level up?
Okay. Yeah.
Now we only did the first level, which is I came down from heaven. All right. The next part he's saying, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. How does that work for us today? Okay, how do we respond to that in today's terms? When he said, I come not to do my own will, but to do the will of him that sent me. How do we relate that to present day terms?
We should be doing what the Lord has asked us. Not our will, but his will.
Right.
And say it.
Yes. So here's the example. After you get, this is how we're looking at it. This is not how they're looking at it. I want you to understand. Now, this is how we're looking at it. They're not looking at it like that. But this is what we should perceive out of this. When we get that bread and we get that water, then our whole life should change. And so it's not about what we've been doing. It's about what we need to do spiritually now. Because our eating and drinking in the natural deals with natural things. But our eating and having not have to drink anymore now gives us time to do with the spiritual things, the will of God, who has now called us. And not only did he call us, he gave us a job to do. Right?
Right.
When we get saved, it's not about having fire insurance, Porsche. It's not about that he just need one more voice to praise him. No, we got a job to do, right? And so once we come in and start to eat and drink of him, everything starts to change to his will and not our will. All right? Now, 39. And this is the will, this is the Father's will which has sent me, that all which he giveth me, I shall what? Lose nothing, but shall raise it up again at the last day. They understood nothing of that. They didn't get that at all. So why was that there? Come on, Bible students. This word of God was was set up for them as a beginning and for us as an end. All right? There had to be a starting point so that that could be a finishing point. All right? They started out with angels talking to them. They started fingers coming, writing commandments, right? We're all the way down to now. He's talking to him about you even got fed with some bread and some water came out of rock. But listen, now we down to the truth. All of that was a shadow and a cast of things to come, right? And so here we are now that when you get the bread, right? When you come to him, you get the bread. When you believe on him, you get the water. Now what happens? We got a situation. What does man think about more than anything? Food and death. Or clothes and death. Or life and death. Well, life is still... What's key points in your life? That you live okay, that you're healthy.
Yeah.
Right? Now, is there not what we call a quality of life?
Yeah.
I mean, you can have life, but then your quality of life is not that good. Right. You can be on a machine.
That's right.
And living, but is that a quality of life?
Right. That's right.
Now, I just want us to understand where we are here. You know, you can have a life, but what is your quality of life? And then still at that end of life, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
You're going to die.
Yeah.
So now, is this important to everybody? I know it's important to me. I mean, y'all life might not be important to you. Y'all they go day to day say, come on, Lord, take me. You know, I read, nah, Lord, I got a few more things to do. If you would just allow me to finish these things up. Then, didn't Paul say that? Oh, I want to be with you so bad. But you know what? I still got a few things. He said, I desire my goal is to be with you. I love you so much. But. Okay, now he said, listen, what I'm telling you is this, all that the Father given me, I should lose nothing. He's just validating what he says up front.
Right.
All right, he's making a case. He said, I won't cast you out. All right, and I'm gonna keep you and I'm gonna hold you. He said, now all that the Father given me, I'm gonna lose nothing, but shall raise it up at the last day. All right, prophetic. Prophetic, because you won't get raised until the last day, right?
Right.
You're going to die in the natural, but you're not going to die in the spiritual.
That's right.
Right? So now he's speaking prophetically. All right? Raise him up on the last day. Now, the Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which come down from heaven. See, them boys had technical problems. They had a glitch came in. You know how folks get that little twitch. Oh, wait, what'd he say? No, he didn't just say that. You know, because they did not understand the relationship that I just explained to y'all. Jesus is the Father on display. They thought they had a handle on it. And the Father, the further up in the Jewish ranks that they were in, rabbi and all of that, they thought that's how closer to God that they were. See what I mean? I'm this, I'm that. My robe got these many tassels on it. That means everything was works related. So they thought that their statue in relationship to God was their rank and how they were in the Jewish order. And so they like, no, how you gonna be bread when it come down from heaven? Now here come the sin of familiarity. Now I know y'all know about this, right? Verse 42. Then they said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it he gonna say he came down from heaven? Huh? Here we go. Oh, you supposed to be a prophet? I remember you. I remember you used to be in the club. I remember getting drunk with you one time. How all of a sudden you supposed to be so saved, sanctified, full of the Holy Ghost and power, and you got all this revelation knowledge and all this stuff going on? I know you. No, you don't. I've been born again.
Amen.
See, people, you all are going to have to go through some of this. Don't you think this is in the Bible here just because they... This is a great story. It's a great story. Now all of a sudden you done got so holy. Now all of a sudden here you way up here. We all way down there, you know. No. I want you to get way up here because it's a great life up here. Is that not what we're presenting to people? A better life, a better way. Right? All that you're trying to put in your life to be happy with, if you would just come to Jesus, what? He would deal with that hunger. And if you believe on him, then now you won't be thirsting after stuff. I mean, when you feel, okay, let me put it like that. When the world drains you out and you have been on your job and they done called you and done wore you out and folk done fussed and acted ignorant and stupid, God can bring some joy from the inside of you, and you can say hallelujah, thank you Jesus. Hello somebody. That may not be y'all, because y'all don't have to go through dealing with crazy folk all the time, but I mean, there's things in life that can weigh you down. Am I right? I won't know I'm talking to the right group. There's some things that can just flat wear us out. Will life not wear you out? Life will wear you out. It just, they said family. So all I want you to think about what he said here and how does it relate to you. He said when you come to him, he gonna deal with some things, but then when you believe on him, then he gonna be able to put that inside of you that will replenish you when you get drained out. That's why they say, or they should be saying, what is it that you possess that's different? Because I would have knocked them out. What is it that you got going on that I'd be sad right now? How you still feeling good in the midst of all this that's going down? This is one of my favorite things. When they say, whose report shall you believe this? That means that there are some other reports out there. Yeah. Right? Not only do the doctor have reports, your family got reports, you got people you care about got reports, right? Your job got reports, you've been laid off, the company that been sold, it's a whole lot of reports out there, but are you going to let that water that's swirling around bring up in you some refreshment? So irregardless of what everybody else is saying, it just get washed out with the joy of the Lord. I don't care what goes on. Right? I've chose this day that I'm going to serve the Lord, and I don't care what else going on. I don't care. Say what you want, do what you want. I don't care who president. I don't care who trying to be. I don't care what they're talking about. I don't care if they shoot off a nuclear bomb. I don't care if they rioting in the street. I don't care. Because greater is he that's what? In me than he that's in the world. See, that's when y'all supposed to be shouting and preaching and going on. That way you Bible students, you. We hadn't got the testimony time now. We're still trying to finish this.
But when I was going through my divorce, that's what kept me. You know, when Jesus said, all that the Father had given me, I had given you. I and the Father, me, and I and you. And then he didn't hold back. He said, even though I'm leaving to prepare a better place for you, I'm going to leave my spirit, the Holy Spirit, to keep you. And that just kept me.
Yeah.
That kept me.
Hallelujah. And listen, we all got a story when we had to hold on. That look, when that ship wrecked and they had to come in on broken pieces, ooh Lord. But he came in. But he came in on broken pieces. But he got to the shore. They told him don't go anyway, right? They told him don't go. No, I'm going. I got to go on over there when the ship wrecked. He came in on the broken piece. He had testimony then.
Right. Yes, right.
He had testimony then.
Amen.
All right. They murmured. They got that sin of familiarity going now. Yeah, we know who you are. How you talking about you gonna come down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto him, I don't have the time. What time is it? Oh. Mom. Oh. Jesus therefore answered and said unto him, murmur not among yourselves. Poor thing, I ain't got five. Murmur not among yourselves. All right, 44. No man can come to me except the Father which have sent me what? Draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now, this is where he gets serious. He said, now I'm going to tell you something. He said, you all that are listening to me, you're supposed to be listening to me. Because the Father has already drawn you to me to hear this. Do we realize what our real job is? I just want to take y'all to the right just a little bit. Your job is to make people decide one way or the other. Because what's going to condemn people is if they accept it or reject it, the truth. But it's true. When you as a child of God are led to be in anybody's presence and company, and God speaks to you and tell you to tell them that he is Lord and above him there is no other, and that they need to turn from their ways and turn to him, and they said no, not now, or no, I don't want it, or no, guess what? The stamp hit right there. Now, here's the other part. We don't know how many more chances they're going to get because repentance can come. But what has happened is the first accusation has come.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
You've been accused of not believing. You had your opportunity, but you said no. I can't tell you how many young folk going in that youth detention. I ain't ready. Boy, on down the road there a couple of months, boy, they be the main ones down there on that floor, boy, crying. Man, you don't know what I've been going through. I got to have God. I need him. I need him desperately. But if we had not presented the case, that's our job, is to present the case. It's called fishing. You might be thinking, is that fishing? Yeah. You know why it's fishing? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and all them and they. So it's God's pond. Right?
Right.
So what you have is the bait. You have received and been hooked by the Father. So now you take Jesus, which is God on display, as the bait. Do you want it or not? If they say yes, fish caught, you bring them in. If they say no and they swim off, broad is the way to destruction and many that go down, but narrow is the way and straight is the gate, and few there be that find it. We are to find the few. We are to allow God to take us into the place that he knows but we know not, and do what he tell us to do. And it's good that we don't know. Isn't that good that we don't know? Because then that might give us the things that Dad said, Father, I don't think I want to go over there today. What did Jonah say? I don't want to go down there. Right?
Right.
Jonah knew what he had to do. He just didn't want to do it. He said they hard head down there. They ain't gonna receive. I don't even want to go deal with them. Matter of fact, they might even hurt me down there. You know? I don't want to go. All right?
And
that's it. Now I'm gonna leave off with that, because if I go into 45, we'll be here a few more minutes. But that's, now you know where we are. We're at John 6. We left off at 44. So we'll pick up at 6:45 on our next meeting. Father, we just thank you for your word. We know that that word that has come, it'll not return void, but it's going to accomplish that which you please and prosper into us. Good seed. We ask that, Lord, as we leave this place, we're not from your presence. You encamp your angels round about to take us to our next destination. We'll be careful to give you alone all the praise, honor, and glory. For us in Jesus' name, and everybody said amen.
Amen.